door.
Hi, and welcome to Food Forest Walk, a podcast about permaculture-designed food forest ecosystems. I'm Leah Levice, reminding you that this is a slideshow. You can see the plants that are mentioned in your Podcast 2.0 app. Go to podcastapps.com to download your new modern podcast app and get the most out of this podcast. In this episode, we'll join Jillian Lee Hodler at the Festival Beach Food Forest. Jillian is the Community Engagement and Volunteer Coordinator with Tree Folks in Austin, Texas. To learn more about Tree Folks, go to treefolks.org.
This tree has really big buds, really useful for identifying compound versus simple leaf. So remember, the bud shows you where the actual leaf starts. These are not leaves, these are leaflets. This whole thing is a leaf. And we know that because we observe the bud at the base. The bud is where it grew out of and where any leaf or branch or fruit or flower from the tree will start out as a bud.
So when it drops its leaves, does it drop the whole leaf or just the leaflets?
It can drop the whole or parts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, great. So we got compound leaf. What else can we observe about this tree? Any characteristics that we've discussed so far, what can y'all notice?
Medium size?
Medium size, but I happen to know that this tree is not full grown. So unfortunately, that's not always gonna be a good characteristic for us to use for identification is size. Now, if a tree is very, very tall, then we know for sure that it's not a small tree. But if a tree is medium sized like this one is, we can't be sure if it's just a younger one or if this is as big as it gets. What else can y'all observe about this tree? Anything about it?
Leaves are light green.
Yes, the leaves are light green. And how do they feel?
Smooth.
They feel smooth. They're not fuzzy.
Soft.
They're soft. So we can guess that perhaps this is a tree that loses its leaves in winter. What other tree did we already look at that has compound leaves? Pecan. So if it looks like a pecan tree, and everything else is just about the same as a pecan tree, but it has a smooth, bright green circular fruit and not a long pecan-shaped dark brown fruit, that means it's a walnut.
Ah.
So this is a very close cousin of the pecan. Juglans major, so they're closely related, similar in a lot of ways, slightly different fruit. Now, if you didn't have the fruit, how would you know that this was a walnut and not a pecan? Any ideas? One good way is that when the pecan drops its nuts, it has those little shell things, the outside covering of the nut, those stay on the tree a lot of the times. So you can still observe those on the tree even if there's no pecans left on it. So if you see those, you know, okay, that's a pecan, not a walnut. So if you really, really closely compared these with the pecan, they're pretty similar. I'm not sure if we could necessarily use these for an ID characteristic. It's kind of hard to tell. The closer related that two species are, the more similar flowers that they will tend to have. The bark is slightly different, and that's a little bit hard to tell as well because this tree is kind of short. So the pecan will have smooth bark until it gets mature, and then it'll have that grayish bark that's peeling off. The walnut typically will not have the bark peeling off, but they're extremely hard to tell apart. So as you're learning tree ID, you're gonna learn to observe things over time and get closer and closer to an identification. You might not be able to get to the species level every time, but that's why you want to come and visit your tree in different times of the year. If I came here in summer, I might have said this is a pecan and I would have never known better and y'all would have believed me. But I got lucky and I happened to be here when it was making walnuts, so I know for sure that it is a walnut. There is one other thing about this tree that's a little bit different from a pecan, which I love to observe. When you're standing under it and you look up through the leaves, the way that they are arranged is kind of hard to describe. It's a little bit spirally. It's a little bit different. I want you guys, when you have some free time, to go out and look at pecan leaves versus walnut leaves. There's a slightly different pattern in the way they're growing. And also the walnut tends to have leaflets which are slightly smaller than the pecan leaflets. So that's hard if you don't have two side by side to compare. But if you're lucky, like in this food forest, and you do, you can clearly see over time with practice that these are slightly smaller leaflets and that the pattern of growth is somehow just a little bit different. Hard to explain exactly. Anyway, it's a fun challenge. We're not all gonna learn every single tree. We're not gonna be perfect, but hopefully we can get closer and closer to learning what the level to which we wanna learn, right? Okay, so now we're gonna look at this one. Okay, what can y'all observe about this one? Yellow flowers. So if you have a tree with flowers, you're having a good day because this is the easiest, best way to identify a tree. Have y'all ever seen a tree like this before?
No.
No? This is a very well-adapted but not native species. We looked at the pecans and the walnuts. Those are native. The peach I mentioned is from Asia. This is actually from northern Mexico and southern Texas. So there's a lot of species in the food forest which are from that border region that grow in northern Mexico and southern Texas. They tend to be pretty drought tolerant. We are experimenting with planting trees that can tolerate hotter and drier climates. So that's a great reason why you'll see this tree planted a lot in gardens. But typically you will not see this growing in the wild in any kind of like nature preserve areas. I'm gonna say this flower is pretty darn unique. It's pretty clear to me what this tree is immediately from the flower. But let's just try to observe a few more characteristics of the tree. What can you guys tell me about the leaves? Yes, did you see a bud? I mean, I happen to know these are compound, but I'm having a really hard time seeing a bud. It's not always going to be easy to observe the buds, but in some cases it will be. What about the way the leaf feels?
Super soft.
It's real soft and delicate. It's not tough, and it doesn't seem like an evergreen because it's not thick and hardy like it's going to last through the winter. And this is a deciduous tree. This one's called a golden ball lead tree. The characteristic of the leaves, if you did not have the flowers here, it would be a little bit difficult to ID this one because there's a lot of trees that have leaves pretty similar to this. So once it's done pollinating all its flowers, it's gonna have seed pods. And those are gonna be another ID characteristic that are gonna really help you. You remember how I said that flowers and fruit are the easiest way to ID a tree? In this case, the fruit is a long, flat seed pod. So like the fruit of a peach is a peach. The fruit of a pecan is a pecan. The fruit of this golden ball lead tree is a long, flat seed pod. There's a lot of trees in this food forest that are planted here because they are adapted. It's not from here. It has to be planted by humans, but it's also not invasive. It will grow here pretty well. It is well suited to the climate, the soil. It is not going to take over. It won't outcompete all the other native species. So we recommend planting native or adapted tree species and not invasive ones. Okay, y'all, we're gonna start off with the buds. So what can y'all tell me about the buds of this tree? Are we looking at simple or compound leaves? Simple versus compound can be hard unless you're looking at something that happens to have really big buds. This does have simple leaves, but that's not going to be the easiest ID characteristic for us to notice. So let's see what else we can notice about these leaves. Small, thick, semi-evergreen. Yes, this tree keeps its leaves on for most of the winter until we get a hard freeze. If you touch this leaf, it will really help you to identify it. It's velvety. It's soft and velvety. That's unique. So if you just sort of glanced at this tree, you might think to yourself, live oak? The leaf shape only, the color, the thickness, the shininess. But once you touch it, you know for sure, that's different. So what else can we observe about this tree? We saw that it has soft, velvety, thick, simple leaves. The fruits, oh, happy day. We have fruits. This is a small, round, green fruit, but it's not ripe yet. So once it is ripe, it's gonna be about this size, but it's gonna be dark black. Once it's ripe and ready to eat, it's completely black and very, very sweet and delicious. It'll stain your teeth a little bit, but it'll come off when you brush them. The fruit is surrounded by these things which are called sepals. There's five of them. They're growing in the shape of a star. So even once it's lost its fruit, it would still have that star-shaped sepal on it. That's another identification characteristic. One thing that's really obvious about this tree and very unique is the bark. What do you guys see about the bark? It's a silvery gray, almost like a whitish gray. It sheds. The bark is peeling off. That is unique. I would say it's smooth versus like a pecan or an oak tree. It's not ridged. It's not rough. So you're gonna learn these finer and finer details of observation. The more you practice your plant ID skills, you're gonna get to the point where you notice things that nobody ever taught you, no book ever mentioned, but these are your special ways of noticing and observing your plant friends, just like when you observe your friends over time. At first, you just learn what your friend looked like and you learn their name, right? At the very, very beginning of your relationship. And then over time, you start to learn what they look like when they're mad or what they look like when they're pregnant, maybe, or all kinds of different ways that they can look and act. It's exactly the same with the plant. The longer you have a relationship, the more you get to know them in different seasons, different ages, when they're babies, when they're elderly. You'll learn all these different ways of identifying the plants, and that's gonna be a unique relationship that you're forming with them over time. You're gonna start to feel, or maybe you already do feel, that the plants are observing you back.
Yes.
The plants are aware of your presence and your identification characteristic and your moods and your special, individual, unique characteristics that you have. And you're gonna start to realize that you're surrounded by friends everywhere you go. You're not alone. The plants are forming a relationship with you as you're forming a relationship with them. If you are observing this tree a little bit earlier, before it's made its fruit, when it has its flowers, you will see the flowers are kind of small and not very noticeable. They are definitely not beautiful and showy like a rose or a lily or a hibiscus. But that's not what the bees care about. They care about something else. Nectar. So the bees are swarming all over this tree in the early spring. That's another ID characteristic. What is attracted to that tree? What lives there? What's feeding off of it? Some species have very specific pollinators that enjoy that specific plant, and some are more general. This one is really attractive to honeybees. If you're just kind of walking along and you notice like a bunch of honeybees on a tree, that's an ID characteristic. Oh, I didn't mention what this is.
Yeah, I'm dying to know.
It's a Texas persimmon. This is a native species of persimmon. Have you guys ever had a big, delicious, juicy orange persimmon? Those are Asian persimmons. They're a cousin. They're the same genus, Diospyros, but a different species. And these are edible fruits as well. You have to wait till they're ripe. They'll be dark black and very sweet and juicy. They're very delicious edible fruit that is native. So native means it's going to be easier to grow than an adapted tree. An adapted tree means it is fairly well adapted to the soil, the climate, like a peach, like a loquat, but a native tree typically will do the best out of any other type of tree because it's been living here for thousands and thousands or even millions of years. It's had a long time to adapt to this environment. And so when we saw Freezepocalypse in 2021 and it got down to, I think, 7 degrees and it stayed below freezing for multiple days, we saw a lot of trees that were adapted to our region that had always done well here die. And a lot of native trees actually survived. So that freeze was damaging and it did weaken a lot of trees. But in my personal observation, the native species were the ones that managed the best to survive the damage and to come back. So we're going to look at that tree right behind you. Not a native, but an adapted tree. There's like a little forest of them growing right here. Another characteristic that you can observe is that a tree has made a bunch of babies all around it. So not all trees are going to grow in that habit. In this case, it's made a little forest of itself, and that is an ID characteristic of this type of tree. What can we observe about the leaves? They're big, dark green, yes, serrated. What about the underside? It's lighter
soft
and fuzzy, but the top is shiny and waxy and dark green. So this is an evergreen. Now we do have some nice fruit on this. Once you see the fruit of this tree, it's kind of unmistakable. It's called a loquat. It's a delicious edible fruit. It's native to Asia. It does very, very well in our region, but it is a little bit cold sensitive. So I saw a lot of them die during the freeze, unfortunately. Any guesses of why these ones are still going strong and so many other people's loquats died? People were here to help it. So that means that people were coming to mulch and water the tree, which is the best way that you can help your trees to survive an upcoming freeze. So if you know that you're going to get a freeze, the best way you can protect your trees is by adding extra mulch all around the roots, which is going to act like a blanket and keep those roots warmer than the freezing cold air, and then water the tree. That's going to give it strength and sturdiness to be able to survive the freeze better. So people were here caring for these trees. And then you, what did you say?
That maybe the forest is a bit warmer?
The forest kept it a little bit warmer than it would have been if it were just like a single solitary tree growing in somebody's yard or in a park somewhere. It's surrounded by other trees that are blocking the wind. That wind makes the air colder. It does more damage to the tree. And the other plants are keeping it warmer with their body heat. It's weird to think of trees having body heat, but all the growth all around it was helping to keep the temperature a little bit warmer than it would have been. And one more reason why maybe these trees survived and other ones didn't. This soil is healthier than you would typically find in most gardens or parks. And that's because of the permaculture way that this soil is built over time. It's not tilled, it's not mowed. There's a lot of nutrients being added to the soil. These trees were stronger going into the freeze, and that helped them to withstand it better. That's just my educated guess, right? I can't say to the tree, like, please tell me how the freeze was for you. More biological life in the soil equals more warmth. Now, the exact same way that you prepare your trees for a freeze is the same way that you prepare them for the heat. So the mulch also acts as an insulation blanket, protecting the roots from the hot air as well. So the best time to mulch your tree is right before the winter and right before the summer. So right now is a great time to mulch your trees. Don't put the mulch on the trunk. You want your mulch in a wide, flat shape like a donut with a hole in the center. When you pile the mulch up on the trunk, you might have seen that before. Landscapers do it, unfortunately, all the time. It's called volcano mulching. It's bad. It causes the tree to rot. So that trunk actually is supposed to be exposed to the air and it's taking in oxygen. When you cover it with mulch, it cannot breathe. And also, it is encouraging fungus and insects to grow and eat the trunk. So always mulch your trees. Never put the mulch on the trunk. Always leave a hole in the center of your mulch like a donut.
The Festival Beach Food Forest is a regenerative agroforestry system in Austin, Texas. You can find volunteer opportunities and a calendar of events at festivalbeach.org. You can also donate to Festival Beach and sign up for the newsletter at festivalbeach.org. This is Leah Levice, and I'll see you at the Food Forest.